Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
One of the highlights of the 51st International Eucharistic Congress taking place in Cebu, Philippines, is the number of theological talks and catechesis offered to the participants. Father John Coughlin of the Diocese of Elphin in Ireland took part in the Congress's theological symposium, speaking on mission in a Western culture. He spoke about this with Sean Patrick Lovett.
Father John Coughlin, part of the Irish contingent here at the International Eucharistic Congress in Cebu, invited to make his contribution to the theological symposium on Western mission. Is that correct?
That's it, Sean Patrick, indeed. Yes, nice to talk to you. And yes, on mission really in a Western context.
Which makes sense, because the thing that I'm hearing is about all the Filipino priests and religious who are now coming across to work as missionaries in Europe, Ireland, Italy, and elsewhere.
Sure. I think in Ireland we would be very, very glad to welcome some of the Filipinos, because I think they speak English. I mean, that's the first and foremost thing, that they have this clarity with their voice, which makes it so much easier just to be understood in the pastoral context, you know. But I think I didn't want to start talking to them about the Filipino context, because I don't know enough about it. But what I wanted to speak to them a little bit about was maybe mission in a secular context. What does that secular context look like, and how should we be paying attention to it? That was really my focus. And I made the argument that we almost now, I think, need to know the secular context as well as we know the doctrine, the faith itself, you know, because actually the if you understand it, say, the guy that I really studied is a guy called Charles Taylor, a Canadian, and he wrote this book, A Secular Age. But his big thing really is that faith happens in a context. And we can think of this very simply. It happens in the context of family life. We think of the domestic church and so on and so forth, that we know so well and that we're hearing about here so warmly in the Philippines, you know. But as we know in Europe and in North America and in those parts of the world, the Western world, the nuclear family is with us now. How long? I don't know, 100 years? It's a long time. And so that structure of family, that domestic church, while it's there, we have to work hard at it, you know. So faith happens in a context. And I think also then that context is down, in the Western scenario, is down to how we understand the human being, the human person. And in a Western context, that's very reduced. And if you think of all of the big issues that we have in the West, they're all operating out of somewhat reduced understanding of the human person. And so I was making the argument that we really, our evangelization has to begin with our understanding of the self. And what's the Christian understanding of the self? Or to put it in easier language, what's the Christian understanding? Who are we in the light of Christ? You know,
those are big questions. You keep talking about the West, but does that mean that you distinguish the West from the East? Do you see big differences in the way we perceive self in the West as opposed to, say, here where we are right now in the Philippines?
Yes, I think in the Philippines the self is immersed in its own context here, whereas the self in the European context, shall we say, sees itself as quite independent, as insular, even if you think about it, independence is a value that we have in the West. You know, we grow up and the desire is that we will become independent of our parents, of our families, of the community even, you know. So that kind of, I suppose, it grows out of a sense of individualism. That's one of those great isms that we don't really understand so well. So that's the context of the self in the West, or it's one element, just a little flavour, a little bit of salt there, just to give us that bit of flavour. But I think here in the Philippines, you still have this very strong sense of family, strong sense, like when we, I don't know what they call it, but they'll take my hand as a priest, and they'll touch, like I was staying with a family last week. Every time the three kids would come home, they would come over and to their granny, to their father, and then of course to me as the priest. So this sense of being embedded in a culture, embedded in a community, is very strong here. Now it's changing, you see. I think like the West, you know. When I say the West, I mean the North Atlantic world, if you like. You know, I'm talking about North America, I'm talking about Europe, I'm talking about Ireland, I'm talking about the UK. So I'm talking about that sort of, the developed world, shall we say, to use that sort of language, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Now, just very quickly, last question. I know comparisons are odious,
yes,
but I am going to ask you to compare, if you can. You were at the last International Eucharistic Congress, the 50th of its kind, which took place in Dublin, Ireland, just 4 years ago. Now, here we are in Cebu in the Philippines, so you have a privileged perspective because you are seeing both, and we've been talking about East and West and values and cultures. So how does this compare?
I think when you arrive here, the first thing that happened to me when I arrived in Cebu, maybe it happened to you as well, out at Mactan International Airport, was some people from the city. This is the interesting, not from the church, people who are working on behalf of the city, they come out and they give us these little chains to put around our neck. You probably got one, and it had a little sign, Cebu, on it. And, you know, I Facebook this straight away. I said, God, this is amazing. This would never happen in Ireland. Well, to my mind, it wouldn't happen in Ireland. You know, so there's one little example. Another example I think that's catching, it's infectious, it's just their joy. You arrive here in the Philippines and the smiles, you get these great big huge smiles, so the joy just, you know, it erupts out of them and they cannot help but share it. And, you know, like nearly almost anywhere else you go in the world, it's nearly like, you know, they're smiling because, well, can they get something from us in a way, you know? But here, there's none of that at all. They're delighted to meet us. They're delighted to see us. So, and then I think that, if you like, I'm going back to my word context, I think that context of joy is how the Filipino faith then is lived. Like, listening to Bishop Robert Barron yesterday, he talked about this. He was talking about, you know, I mean, he talked about getting an audience in the palm of his hand, you know. I mean, he really exhorted, really complimented the Filipino people to begin with, describing the Filipino church as the most vibrant church in the world. And but what I think what he means is that, you know, you arrive here and, you know, when they sing, they all sing. I mean, this is really shocking for an Irishman, you know, abroad, as they say. But like, when they sing, you know, they really sing. And when they're processing, they really process. When they're doing their dances, and we've seen them do some wonderful dances, and we've seen them do some of the cultural activities that we've seen around the city, you know, they give it heart and soul is given. So they are enthusiastic. But enthusiasm in our, I think, in the Irish, we're not so enthusiastic about our faith. So we'll put on something for you. So there's the comparison, if you like. I think the big difference would be that there's just the great joy that's here in the Philippines.
That was Irish priest Father John Coughlin speaking to Vatican Radio's Sean Patrick Lovett at the 51st International Eucharistic Congress in Cebu, Philippines.
Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.